here's a story from The World.
Finding a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict starts with naming the problem. There's one word that seems to be gaining traction. Apartheid has been used to describe Israel's control over the Palestinians. This is not a new thing, but the accusation now seems to be making its way into the mainstream. The global advocacy group Human Rights Watch recently accused Israel of persecution and apartheid. The World's Sarah Birnbaum has our story.
Apartheid is not a charge Eric Goldstein takes lightly. Goldstein edited the Human Rights Watch report that used the A word.
I think that 20 years ago, we would not have called the situation apartheid.
Back then, the Oslo peace process was in full swing.
And we, I think, like many people, thought that perhaps soon there would be two states. And so whatever abuses that were occurring in the occupied territories, however bad they might have been, it looked like a temporary situation. And there were Israeli leaders who could say with a straight face, we don't intend to rule over the Palestinians in the occupied territories forever.
After 54 years of occupation, Goldstein says the situation feels very far from temporary. The problem is most glaring in the West Bank, where everyone lives under the same Israeli authority, but Jewish Israelis have full political and legal rights, while Palestinians do not. Goldstein says this is a version of apartheid.
We're not using apartheid like flamethrowers. We're not using it as an insult word. It is a term meant to refer to a particularly severe type of systematized discrimination.
The word apartheid originated in South Africa. It was the racist political system that governed every aspect of life from 1948 to 1991. But in the past 20 years, the term has become much broader. According to the International Criminal Court, apartheid is a system of legalized racial discrimination in which one racial group is deprived of political and civil rights. But the word is still so loaded that many experts won't go near it, and nor should they, says veteran journalist Hirsch Goodman.
Apartheid is a sacred word. It is not to be used lightly.
Goodman grew up in South Africa and immigrated to Israel in 1965 as a teenager. He says the people who use apartheid to describe Israel are usually activists who want to present an ugly caricature of the Jewish state and undermine its right to exist.
For me, the word apartheid, having grown up with it, no free press, no free thought, arrest without trial, like Stasi police, 2 million whites, subjecting 20 million blacks, moving populations from rich farmland to bantustans, a system that is so horrible that I can't even begin to see the comparison.
But many South Africans do see the comparison, including the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, who was an anti-apartheid activist. In an interview with France 24, Ramaphosa said the plight of the Palestinians triggered a horrible sense of deja vu.
The images that we've been seeing of people being prevented to move around, of their homes being destroyed, brings back very terrible memories of our own history and apartheid.
A younger generation of South Africans also sees parallels. Mohamed Desai is with a group called Africa for Palestine. He was 5 when apartheid ended in 1991, and in 2004, he took a gap year in Israel. He said he had to go through the military checkpoint between the West Bank and Jerusalem quite a lot.
One experience that sort of was very jarring was when crossing the Kalandia checkpoint and I hand over my passport and the soldier who greets me sees that the passport is South African and starts speaking to me in Afrikaans.
Desai says here was an Israeli soldier demanding his identification papers, speaking the same language as the authorities back home who caused Desai's family so much pain.
That was a stark reminder of the apartheid South African regime and of Israel's own complicity with apartheid South Africa.
Israel became a friend of the South African apartheid regime in the 1970s, and it was one of the last Western nations to sever ties with the country after global sanctions were imposed in the late 80s. On the flip side, Nelson Mandela and Yasser Arafat were friends. Arafat was the chairman of the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, which provided military support to the African National Congress in the 1970s. And that's why, Desai says, today, many Black South Africans identify with the Palestinians and are active in the anti-Israel boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, which incidentally has been organizing Israel Apartheid Week on college campuses since 2005.
Long before it was fashionable, long before it was attractive or sexy, it was the Palestinians who gave us financial resources, they gave us military training, they gave us various other forms of solidarity. So in some ways, it's paying back for that.
The debate over the A word isn't just about rhetoric. It's about consequences.
Whether you call the situation apartheid, occupation, or conflict will determine the particular roles and responsibilities of those involved.
Leonie Fleischmann teaches international politics at City University of London.
When it's defined as the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, it's a case of two equal sides who need to come together on a negotiation table in order to resolve the conflict.
That's the framework used in the 90s with the Oslo peace process. Now, Fleischmann says, the international community calls Israel's controls over Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem a military occupation. Fleischmann says under this framework, the occupier, Israel, has certain obligations toward the occupied people, the Palestinians. But at the same time, Israel can legally take its security into account.
So they could argue, for example, that something that we're doing, yes, it may be an abuse of rights, but it's necessary in order to protect the security of Israelis. But as soon as you start talking about the situation in terms of apartheid, that idea of balancing interest is no longer applicable.
Apartheid is defined as a crime against humanity under international law.
We have a case where a certain group are privileged over another group, and there's a clear oppressor and oppressed, such that those who are oppressed need to be freed from this oppression.
When groups like Human Rights Watch use the term apartheid, it's strategic. They're emphasizing the need for a paradigm shift when it comes to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Eric Goldstein of Human Rights Watch says he wants the international community to talk less about one state or two and more about how to secure equal rights for everyone between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea.
Let's move away from the illusion that human rights abuses are the unfortunate symptom of no resolution to the conflict and that it's best to reach a solution and then the rights will all fall into place. Let's start with giving everybody their rights, and then we can all work for a resolution to the outstanding political issues.
Goldstein hopes that's a vision most people can get behind, whether they use the word apartheid or not. For The World, I'm Sarah Birnbaum. From PRX.